It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
For Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, nice to have your company on a Saturday afternoon as we get ready for West Coast and Sydney at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast. But prior to that, we got some beautiful stuff coming your way. We got John Worsfold. Very, very nice football played by the Bombers last night, beating Collingwood. Trav Old to explain what the hell's going on with the fixture, because none of us know. Dean Cox, of course, part of the Sydney coaching staff ahead of West Coast tonight. The quiz.
Yes.
This afternoon, I should say. The quiz is back.
It's back.
None of us know how.
Well, I know why. It's popular.
And all of the rest of the nice entertainment that you enjoy on a Saturday afternoon, everyone's assembled. Duck, nice to see you.
Yeah, very nice. Good to be here. Good game of footy last night. I enjoyed it.
I understand from you, very intelligent men, how it is that Collingwood start like the proverbial German band and then spend an hour not scoring. But I'm going to get to that in a moment. Hello to you, Brian.
That's a bit of a theme with the Pies.
It is.
They don't score a lot very often.
And Stevenson's one of the guys that gets off to a flyer.
Yeah. And then they hit the brick wall.
They are one of the teams that move the ball pretty slowly, the Pies, and I just wonder whether that, you know, you look at the teams that are winning at the moment, moving the ball quick.
Too many handballs.
Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy Boy. Great to see you. I haven't seen you for a week.
And no, we've been on holiday, of course, and Damo, of course, nice to see you. And
hello, Jimmy.
As we're discussing, Fat, I think the kangaroo court needs to come in.
You got to go with it right off.
Well, I think we need to.
An intervention stop.
Well, I was watching the magnificent coverage last night of the game, and I loved it, of course. The team doing a beautiful job. And, and then in an ad break, up came Fat.
PB.
And the two things I don't understand about it is, firstly, best as I can work out, auto-cue's been around in television for the best part of 40 years.
Maybe longer.
What's an auto-cue?
And it's not that hard. You just look at a screen with the words coming up and you read it. But if you've done a bit of television, you can do that pretty naturally. You don't have to look like Marty Feldman with your eyes popping out like a goldfish, as stiff as a board.
Bill.
Fat.
Who's that?
You're damaging all of our brand with your delivery.
My new nickname is PB. Points bet.
No.
You just call me PB.
Bill, you look like you got a paddle pop stuck up your ass. Like you can sit comfortably and you can look naturally and you can read the words properly.
You wouldn't believe how many times I read that script. There's a couple of mistakes there. And if it's not 45 seconds, not 60, not 30, do it again, Bill. And then the camera blows up or the lights. Fair dinkum, it's hard work.
Bill, my first awareness of you doing this,
here we
Bill.
Go. This will be good.
My first awareness of
you reading an auto-cue.
Was you in the full page ads in the paper?
Yes.
Where your head is disproportionately small to your big body.
Yes.
I thought it was the way the photo was cropped in the paper.
Yeah.
On TV, your head's disproportionately small too.
Have you seen your head?
And your arms. What's happened to your arms?
I'm a dinosaur. There's a big dinosaur page out. What is it? The Rex, whatever it is. But I did ask. I went to the graphics people at PointsBet. I said, what is going on? Because I don't look right.
They said, you don't.
Yeah, and they said, we had to just move you a little bit. they admitted to it.
But, Bill, that doesn't excuse or reason why you look the same on TV.
What do you mean I look the same?
You look the same weird person on TV as well.
Well, you're right, because I was watching last night, and I've got this little head, and I've got a fat body.
And little arms.
And little... I think that's me.
Even my beautiful partner, who's a big fan of yours...
She likes me.
She looked at the screen last night and said, what the hell's wrong with Bill? But so you can't do much about how stupid you look.
What's that show they have on TV where you change the body parts?
Embarrassing bodies.
Embarrassing bodies. You should go on that.
In fact, the delivery is so wooden. Like you naturally
see the hands move. Oh.
Give us an example, JB. Just give us an example of a read that he would just read that ad in front of you there.
He'll go, Hard Yakka believes in the Australian legend. But it's not just the delivery. It's the eyes are popping out like this and the head doesn't move. Toughness is in their DNA.
I don't speak like that.
You
can see me. The lead at half time. Guess what?
Oh.
You win. Simple as that. I've got inflections in there. If you actually have a listen, there's inflections. There's up and down, sideways. And anyway, you can get all get stuff because I am back and the quiz is back. Hit it.
In the sporting world, there have been some incredible comebacks. Jordan.
Chicago Bulls have won their second three-peat.
Woods.
Blue.
Roberts puts it in.
It's in! Tiger is back!
Foreman's down, goes for on a right hand.
And once again, heavyweight, champion of the world!
But nothing compares to this.
The punters love it, Jim.
The comeback of all comebacks.
I want the quiz, mate. We want the quiz back.
Billy, we love your quiz.
I want the quiz back.
The return.
Bring back the quiz.
Of the Saturday Rub Quiz.
What do they want, Bill?
What do we want?
The quiz.
What do they want?
Now!
How good. How good. The quiz is back. Now, I want to say off the top here, boys, well done to the people out there.
Oh, yeah.
The people.
The shift workers, the tradies, the boiler makers, the Grahams, the Barrys, the Rosses, the Shauns.
The construction workers.
The construction workers, because they've brought it back. They are the good guys.
Anyone out there that's half smart, Bill?
No. And it's a win for the good guys. It's a win for the normal people.
It's a win for you too, Bill.
Because they are givers, my friends. You are a taker. You are a big taker, Duck. You're a taker, you're a taker, and you're a taker. And they're givers, and they've given, and guess what? The people's quiz is back.
Have you gone and sourced a prize, or have you lent on Aaron from TaylorMade again?
Well, we're going with Brent Grimbley Sales and a few Dynabolt.
What do we got?
What have you organised?
We have a special prize.
No, we've got a special prize.
Special prize.
I don't want to say till the quiz comes. Yes, yeah, it's right. A special prize.
Right.
You might get a nice little bag from Triple M.
There is no prize.
CD.
A bag.
A CD.
You get a CD. Best of...
A tape. A cassette tape.
A ruler.
Some cards. A deck of cards.
A deck of cards. And a big M.
Can you confine it to one segment, Bill, when we come back? Because we've got a short preview.
Tony, mate, you know, I am the quiz master, Tony Barber are, but it's up to the people who ring how that goes. But well done to them. I love them, and they're all part of it, it's all for them.
Just be prepared, Bill.
What?
That's all.
Well, I am prepared. I got my form guide, I got the super ladder, and I'm waiting
Bill,
on the quiz.
You're a bit like Collingwood with the quiz.
What's that?
You get off to an okay start, but then you get into the middle and you forget who's on the line, what question you're asking, you forget if it's a lifeline or not.
You know why?
And you let Duck cheat.
No, yeah, you cheat. But then Brian jumps in because he knows it's popular and people are listening.
Oh,
and he's got to jump. Oh, yeah? What kind of wood you got? What kind of...
Well, you ask mundane questions.
Oh, yeah, what are you chopping down? Like, you just jump in because it's popular. Brian, you're unbelievable. Just jump on the bandwagon.
Bill.
And Damo, you sit there like a stupid nerd. Actually, you're always sitting there like a stupid nerd. Fair enough. Oh, Duck sits there with his white socks on, his stupid boots.
It's a good result, Bill. I'm with you. I was behind you on this.
Hey, well done to that, whoever made that add up too. Well done, Luke, or DC. Well done,
DC. Of course, down in the booth. Does a magnificent... What have you been up to anyway, Fat? I haven't seen you for a week. You haven't stopped eating.
Eating palmies and drinking piss. I'm sick of it. I've got to get off it. You shouldn't own a pub. Because it's easy to just go in there when you're on holidays, Jim.
Bill, you shouldn't live so close to your own pub.
With only 20 in there at once, Bill, wouldn't you come out and let the clients go in?
No. Why would I do that? So I could go to Noosa or somewhere, Jim, go on holidays and get some sun.
Well, you probably couldn't at the moment.
Well, I could drive up there. But guess what? Guess where I'd end up? At the pub having a bet and a palmy and a beer. So why wouldn't I do it at my joint where it's free?
Well, I actually went there for a wedding last year, that same spot.
Your own wedding?
I went into the surf club. As I said, the front bar last week, I said to you, Brian, is my natural environment. I'm very comfortable. People get around me, and so it's all very... But the surf club's not my go-in rule. But I walked into the surf club. Bill had to register down the bottom and give my bloody wallet over
and
and hand all that shit over. Anyway,
Moggy's the man there.
I then walk in, and I reckon close to 20 people. Where's your fat mate? Where's your mate fat? Where's the bald fat
Which
bloke?
Which one, Brian?
No, because he's not bald.
Oh,
so, Bill,
he's great.
You obviously put a significant body of work in at that
Well, place. I've got a good friend from Cobram, actually a good friend of Steve Hocking's, Moggy. He runs it.
Right.
So we're just mates and we catch up, go and see him about one and leave it about one. Talk to the fat.
It's actually a very nice spot.
Oh, it's great. I've never been the other side where the beach is. Is that nice there? I've been this side where the...
It's on the beach, Bill.
Yeah, but only the tote and that's on the other side. They reckon it's a good view. It's nice out there in the veranda.
It is a very, very nice view.
Anyway, when are we on? Oh, we're started. I've got some questions here.
All right, go on.
Brian, and to you, Brian, and to Duck.
Oh, yeah. Questions.
Well, would you be disappointed if one of your teammates didn't go on the hub? Be truthful.
No, depends on the reason, Bill.
Would I be disappointed? Yes, if they didn't have a medical or family reason, yes, I would be disappointed.
All right. What happens if they said, I want to stay at home with my wife and kids?
For just company. I would say you probably need to suck it up a little bit. And for the benefit of everyone in your team. Mm. So from the highest paid to the lowest paid, for the benefit of everyone in the footy industry, which includes us, of course. People say, you know, it is a billion-dollar industry that's hanging on.
Yep.
And that's why I would say you need to go. It's going to be tough for you, but you need to go.
I think you've got to, in this situation, because you're talking about the whole footy community. So you look at that as a family. So you're not... Of course, you look after your family, Bill, but if it's not for medical reasons, then you've got to think about other families. Mm. Not everyone. There are certain people in situations, Bill, where they're financially stable and all different types of things, and those players could quite possibly say, well,
I don't need it.
I can stay.
Yeah.
But there's so many others that can't, Bill, and they have to be playing and clearly...
And Bill, I'd be good with a couple from each club, possibly, but I wouldn't be good with lots from each club.
I tell you who was strong about that. Dermy was very strong.
He was.
He basically said if they didn't go, he wouldn't want to play with them ever again.
Mm, really?
He was very strong. Yes. In his
Damien, what would you do? Would you be disappointed?
I'd be going, Bill, for what it's worth. But again, it's each case has to be treated individually. And as we speak, there's a situation developing with Richmond's Bashir Hooley, whose partner has given birth in the past 24 hours. And no decision has been made yet on whether he goes to the hub or not. But I would think surely amongst this conversation here, BT, that situation would be one whereby he may choose not to go.
There's no reason why he can't come later.
There is a reason, because the requirements of going to the hub, they need to start this 14-day quarantine period. And the moment someone comes in on them...
But he can miss a game.
No.
But then he starts he can't hub.
He's a week behind.
But the way they're viewing it, guys, and this is coming from the AFL itself, if a player is to come in fresh into the hub, the whole 14 days resets for every single person in that hub. So this is why it is a big issue.
Why can't he come in, not to the hub, but go into the state, isolate for 14 days and then go into the hub?
I suppose he possibly could do that.
But what about being paid? You don't go, you don't get paid?
I couldn't see how it wouldn't work that way, Duck. I mean, you're not providing the service to which you're contracted to do,
Which gets back to my point. If you don't go and you don't get paid, Bill, you can't look after your family anyway.
Mm. Look, you know what? There would be a whole host of very acceptable reasons as to why players can't go, and we all get that, and we support that. But if you haven't got a really good reason, I just don't think there's any excuse not to go.
I got another question. There's a lot happening down at Geelong today, by the way. I know we've got a very good game here, West Coast Sydney, and it'll be on Triple M straight after us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the schoolyard, boys, Joel Selwood or Gary Ablett, who do you pick?
Ablett.
You go Ablett.
Yeah, well, see, Ablett's clearly the more decorated, probably better individual player.
Just shorten it up aspect. A bit, Duck, yeah.
But if I'm looking for, I'd Selwood.
Selwood, for really? His leadership.
For me, you need to ask me, Bill, whether it would depend on leadership or pure.
No, we're in the schoolyard, Brian, and you've got one who's a very good leader and a superstar out there.
I'm going Selwood.
You're going Selwood. So two Selwoods, one Ablett?
Wow, I'm going Ablett.
2-2.
I'll tell you what
are you doing, Fat?
I'll go Selwood.
You'd go Selwood as well. There you go. Isn't that interesting? What I will say is, for the first time in the history of our game, and we call them legends, Ablett Senior and Ablett Junior will be legends at some point in the Australian Football Hall of Fame. And they'll be the first father-son ever to do it, obviously.
It's a shame there's no crowd down there. Imagine that down at Geelong tonight when you've got 350th, you've got 300th, carried off, the photo with them. It's just a shame there's no crowd.
It's a tough question to ask, by the way, because you take them both all day long.
No, we know that. We love them both.
Genuine superstars.
And both superstars.
Fat, get back to your first question. And we all know magnificently.
Questions, Bill.
I played a game where you went on the road for 2 to 3 weeks all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
And never batted an eyelid. And didn't matter whether you just had a baby, whether your baby was about to be born, you're planning to get married.
Yeah.
You couldn't get on the plane quick enough.
Well, you got married and next day you're playing cricket.
I did, and got out first ball.
Yeah.
That might have been telling you something, Jim.
It
should have been.
They don't have any trouble going on the old
footy trip.
End of season.
Footy trip.
Well, I didn't say that, Bill, but...
I said it.
Yeah. Justin Langer said the same. He said, I've spoken to the AFL coaches and I've said, toughen up, boy.
No, he did. I know for a fact he did a link during the lockdown with all the Freo players.
Yeah.
You know, one of those Zoom links.
Yep.
And because my nephew was involved in it, and he said that he leant into the screen and gave him both barrels.
He
said, listen, you blokes, get rid of this precious crap.
Yeah.
Get your bloody bags packed. Go wherever you need to go. The competition's bigger than you. Don't worry about your bloody family, your kids. They'll be fine. Trevor, you know, Tim Payne's kids are fine.
Yep.
Get there and bloody play footy. It was apparently very good.
No.
And it was actually more difficult, BT, at the end of every year, getting players back from footy trips.
Yes. That's right.
Was, to their families. Alone,
no problems with the old extension of the footy trip.
you see, Mark Murphy got reported. I know it's thrown out.
It's been thrown out.
See who he struck? Jake Carlisle. Bit of history there between those two.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What's the history?
What's the history?
Well, it goes way back.
To where?
Well, remember the big blue at the Marvel?
Over.
They exchanged words.
Words.
All right, words.
Wordy wordies.
All right.
Oh, boy.
John Worsfold's going to join us next. How good were they? Extraordinary, the Bombers. Looking forward to chatting to him.
Essendon.
For McDonald's, Try Macca's new cheesy range, your favourites only cheesier. And for Hard Yakka, this is the Triple M Saturday Rub.
The Triple M Footy Saturday Rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Zaharakis directly in front. Essendon have kicked three in a row and it's all square at the MCG. Stringer to kick two in a minute and a half. He has. Essendon have kicked five in a row. Round the corner. Tip and Woody. Is it going to get the bounce? Of course it's going to get the bounce. Tip's got two for the turn.
Jake's got three and the Bombers are just about home.
Townsend with a steadier for the Bombers.
Picked up snap. Dylan Shields kicked the winner. There's your game.
There it is. A famous win over their arch rivals, the Pies.
Yeah, they beat a very good opponent last night by 15 points after giving a pretty significant start-up too. So congratulations to the Essendon Footy Club. They were fantastic there. Senior coach John Worsfold joins us on the line. Woosh, welcome to you.
Thanks very much.
I'm going to let these boys take over in just a sec, but my only question to you is this. When you're in the box and the other mob, I think you said at one stage Duck had 27 possessions to three or something along those lines, jumped out to a three-goal to zip start on you. What, if anything, can you do at that point? Do you just think eventually this will settle down, or is there anything you can do in the box to sort something like that out?
There's not much you can do in the box, but you sort of know that obviously, the game's not going to continue to flow that way. So it's really, you know, I was down on the bench. So the main thing I'm looking for is the player's attitude. Are they staying upbeat? Are they staying focused, not panicking, thinking we need to change something or do something drastically different? We need to just get ourselves, get our hands on the ball and then see how the game unfolds from there. Now get some stoppages and then you get a feel for it. But certainly a three-goal head start on what was looking like being a wet night in a shorter game is not ideal, but also we are seeing through the course of this season so far that a lot of teams are getting jumps, but you can run it down over the course of the game still.
So, Woosh, what about the start? So, Bell Chambers gets left out. He's being rested. You bring in Phillips against the best ruckman in the competition. And you not only bring him in, either you've furnished him with a plan or he's come up with a plan to take on Grundy. Did that work out according to the plan?
Well, the plan was compete as well as you can, knowing that
Grundy he certainly did that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he played on Grundy. He's played on Grundy previously, so he knew a bit about him. And it was also to bring what his strengths are. Don't just focus on trying to match up on everything that Grundy does. Do what you do naturally as well. So generally our message to our players is understand, you know, what you bring to our team and just go out and do that to the best of your ability. And, you know, really that was what we were expecting from Andrew, and that's what he delivered for us.
So yeah, that's really interesting, Woosh. I reckon we're going to get a similar look tonight with North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs, where Goldstein pounded English last year in the hitouts, but the Dogs won the clearances comfortably. The same happened last night. Do you set up to achieve that? Do your players go, righto, he's likely to get first hand, so around stoppages you go about it differently?
Yeah, absolutely. That has to be taken into account. You know, teams did it for years playing against Aaron Sandilands, where you knew he was going to get a fair grasp of the footy and put it where he wanted, and you had to be prepared to say, well, we're going to read that as much as possible. There's times when, you know, the bounce will favour the other ruckman and you can have a good crack at it. But, yeah, balance around the contest is certainly some planning put into how you want to structure up at stoppage contests against different teams. And it's not always just about the ruckman. It's about the players around the contest and where they set up and what you want to bring.
Well, so your manic pressure all over the ground was absolutely superb. How do you, I mean, obviously to sustain that week in, week out is difficult, but the inconsistencies in that effort, I mean, that was just huge last night.
Yeah, it was, Duck. And what, you know, certainly in my time in football, what you find is that's why we say age and experience of squads is really important, because the more match-hardened you are and you've been around doing it for a long time, you can sustain it through the course of a season and through most games within a season. But we do see the inconsistencies generally in really young teams. You see it a lot more where they might be really strong and hard at it for a half a game and then just can't sustain it. And they certainly can't sustain it for 22 rounds of a normal home and away season. But, you know, every team has their weeks where they're not quite at that same intensity. And that can be, there's a lot of factors that affect that, whether it's days, breaks, coming off travel or whatever it may be. But, you know, so far what we're seeing from our group is that we've been putting on pretty good pressure in our few games for the season so far.
Jake Worsfold was, Jake Stringer was really good last night. He finished the game injured and left the ground in a moon boot and crutches. What's the update today on him?
Yeah, so we've only just had the results come through that he does have a syndesmosis injury. So obviously they're not great injuries. He'll now, we'll just wait for further assessment of what that scan means. So he'll see some specialists in that area. But, you know, he's not going to be playing for a few weeks. We know that. So, yeah, really disappointing for Jake because he's going well and obviously disappointing for us as we're about to head north.
And does that mean he won't go to the
Hub? Well, that's what I was going to ask.
So was I.
Highly unlikely, yeah. So highly unlikely he will come up. Again, depending on... Depending on all the further reports we have to get. But, at this stage, I wouldn't expect that he'll come up there.
John, does Joe Danaher go up in the Hub?
Joe will, yeah. So we've got a few players that are in a similar boat to Joe in that they're back in full training, close to full training. So, like Sam Draper is another one who hasn't had any practice match hit-outs yet, but he's on the verge of that, so he'll come up. We want to keep those guys tracking along and staying involved with full training load that we'll be doing up there.
Connor McKenna, how's he going?
Well, he played well.
Yeah, Connor did really well yesterday in our match sim hit out with the Pies. He looked really sharp. He was blowing a bit as you'd expect, but used the ball well. I think he enjoyed the 14-on-14 and a bit of space. But a really good hit out for him, and that sort of is a massive part of his preparation for us.
I know we're going back a bit with it, Woosh, but were you disappointed that the industry didn't look after him better?
Industry wise, we work really hard. We had a lot of discussions with the AFL. It obviously included governmental departments that had to be in on everything that was going on around that. I think, just some of, I don't know what the word is, but people did get maybe carried away with the possibility that there was a bigger story to it all. I mean, it was going to be a massive story regardless. But, you know, we've seen other sports people around the world for a variety of reasons have contracted this virus. So no one's immune to it. But he didn't contract it like some other people have, where they have put themselves in risky positions. So, I'm not sure. Obviously, we felt as though people were pretty harsh on Connor and almost making him out to be a villain when he had just contracted a highly contagious disease that's that no one's immune to.
Tell us about your relationship with Ben Rutten. How do you work that out? We've seen huddles where he's done all of the talking and you've taken a back seat and vice versa. Do you work that out before the day? Or
if you win, you seem to do the presser.
How does all that work?
No, look, we spent a fair bit of time obviously talking about how the year was going to look when we, even when we were planning, you know, how this succession was going to work. So that's way back in October and November. So we're just constantly communicating about where things are at and how we're working together. And, you know, it includes a lot of discussions, you know, this morning, yesterday afternoon, but more so this morning around what the next 4 weeks is going to look like for us, for us working together, but also how we want to work with the squad and how we're going to set it up heading to a hub. So Ben's got some really strong personal opinions about the way he wants to see the game played, about the way we set up our training program, and I'm just guiding him, letting him know there's always other options and don't just be tunnel vision. I'll challenge him to consider why he thinks of things a certain way, and I want him to think more broadly, and that doesn't mean he will adapt some of the challenges that I throw at him, but it'll at least make him aware that there's more than one way to skin a cat, and that that you've got to be awake to considering those options.
Well, if that, if I were in your position, I'd find it hard to be so accepting of what is going to transpire.
Someone else?
has that must have been difficult, though. I mean, you're handling it beautifully, but hard.
Well, look, I was clear with the footy club that when my family relocated back to Perth, that it was going to be a limited period of time that I felt I could commit to staying away. So with each year that's gone by, I've told Xavier Campbell very clearly through all our communication that, you know, it's not getting easier, it's getting harder. So for everyone's benefit, it was I couldn't commit beyond this year. There's no way I could commit to that. So to leave the club in the best possible position, which is why I first arrived at the footy club, was to help them navigate through a period of time and hopefully become a real powerhouse club in the competition again. I want to make sure that continues. So I thought it just made a lot of sense. And the risk was that we got to the end of this year and I thought maybe I can go another year and I'd love to stay. But, you know, I was miles off being able to guarantee that at all to the footy club. So, you know, that's why I'm so supportive of the plan that they've put in place. I think it makes sense and it's going to shore up this playing group to hopefully achieve the best possible things they can together.
You've done it beautifully, Woosh. I just, for this last question, want to drag you back to your playing days. I know that it's a while ago, but when you were playing for the West Coast Eagles, were you aware of how terrified Bill Brownless was of you?
Damn, you've asked him this.
Yes. Yeah, we've had these discussions. We have.
Now, Woosha, what about you and Ablett when you used to punch on and you're like two old bulls and you'd be wrestling and carrying on? Geez, that would have taken a bit out of you, wouldn't it?
It did. And, you know, no one ever came over to help. I think both Geelong and West Coast players were going, let those two lunatics go at it. There's no use making this a melee.
Bill, he had no concern about you on the field at all.
I knew that. And he was mad, this bloke we're talking to. But he's nice and pleasant. And you're still a chemist?
A pharmacist?
Yeah. So you lose that, or do you have to do some more schooling? Or
no, I've still got the diploma framed on the wall, mate, just to remind me.
What about that? And he come out all smiling with, oh, there's an old lady there. There you go, darling. There's some Disprin. And, oh, look at him. Mate, on the field, he go, whackety, whack, whack.
And we loved it, Bill, ran the other way. Hey, Woosh, well done last night. Brilliant performance by your footy club. In great shape, the Bombers.
Yes.
Handling all of this really well. So great credit to you.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
See you, mate.
John Worsfold, love it. Every time we speak to him, I'm going to bring it up, Bill.
No, don't.
No, I'm going to.
Because it's embarrassing.
Does it?
Because you knew where he was. Him and Barry Hall were the two blokes. I always knew where they were.
Did you?
He was mad, Barry Hall.
No doubt about it.
He beat you, Duck.
Scott Thompson's behaviour that day when he pushed him over as he was doing his shoelaces. Still the single stupidest thing I've ever seen a man do in a sporting arena. I can't believe this, but to come is the quiz. Yes. We're given it the arse and rightly got rid of it.
Jim, the new name is the People's Quiz. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. It's for the people.
An unknown petition has brought this back.
It's the people out there. No, they've spoken it.
No one's seen it.
One more opportunity to get it right, Bill.
Brian, they've spoken. Right. Because they are givers, you are a taker.
Be prepared, Bill.
Shut up,
Doug. Exactly. And people's names and realise who's on and get the questions out. It's not hard.
In one segment. When's Travis Old coming up?
We're getting him on right now. So straighten it up. Because this man, well, you could argue Purple, the most important man in football as we speak.
Certainly the most busy. And Trav, thanks for joining us today. Head of fixturing at the AFL. Yesterday, Friday, you released round six and round seven. Is it fair to say, Trav, that we're looking at a further three rounds to this hub life of the clubs that will now be leaving Victoria as of Monday?
Yeah, afternoon, guys. Dame, I think that's right. We, a big learning from the first lot of clubs, the WA and SA clubs, was that they're okay from being away from home as long as the facilities are right, but they just want some certainty in relation to the timing. And so this time around we said, let's lock in, I think it's about 32 days, five games. We don't know what it's going to look like at the end of that, but we have promised them that we'll get that 32 days done, get everyone back home and then reset.
And when you say reset, is it absolutely locked in that they will all return home at that stage, or do you reset maybe up there as well?
Well, something might happen between now and then, so nothing's absolutely certain. I think that's one thing we do know from the first five rounds. But certainly we'll continue to reassess as things change. If they're able to get those five games away, if things don't change in Victoria in terms of the border restrictions, then maybe we do bring them all back. Maybe we need to look at a split round or a bye, I'm not sure. But we just need to stay open-minded.
Yeah, and a split round and or a bye would obviously, if it was to play out each weekend being used, push back the grand final date. Is there still consideration being given, Trav, to condensing the time frame in which the remaining matches are to be played?
We certainly got that option available to us, simply because we obviously shorten the length of the season, which is going to prove to be valuable, I think, and then shorten the length of games. And so if we need to, we can condense, say, for example, three games into 2 weeks if we had to. We can certainly extend the back end of the season out. You know, at the moment, if you ran the season through as normal, so to speak, then you'd be 24th of October grand final. We've got the rest of October. We've got all of November if we need to. So we've got time on our hands. It's just, you know, remaining flexible.
Yep. Logistics now are a nightmare, to use that terminology. Five clubs leaving Melbourne to go into the Gold Coast Hub, one into Noosa, two into New South Wales, and then eventually two into WA. But the arrangements around that, Trav, a player needs to go on Monday, don't they, at the latest, in order to be part of that hub for the five-week duration. They can't fly in 2 weeks into it. It would require a complete reset for the entire hub if that was to be the case. Is that the fair take out on what's happening there?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I mean, it's quite staggering when you think that we'll relocate about 700 people out of Melbourne over the next few days, which is players and staff and maybe a few families into New South Wales and Queensland, and then the week after into WA. And so effectively what allows us to do is start that 14-day quarantine period, and during that time they can play each other, then they come out of quarantine, and then we've got that flexibility that we need to start opening up some of the matchups.
Yep. We're still chasing a few individual stories today as it unfolds about availability. Are you, as you speak right now, aware of any player who is unable to go for personal reasons?
I'm not personally, but I'm probably not the one that would know first up either, to be fair. So Steve Hocking and his team will be working with each of the football departments on issues such as that. So whether that's happening or not, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Darwin, Trav, is that a possibility in the next lot of games that you might bring out?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. I mean, I think I know the NT government's really keen to have us, which is fantastic. We've got some really good relationships up there, led by Melbourne and Gold Coast. Obviously not in the coming 2 weeks, but I think not too far after that, we'd love to get one, two, three games up there, BT, and continue that relationship.
Just on the hubs, I noticed that you, initially it was two clubs out of Byron. All of a sudden, St Kilda are left. Carlton have now gone to the Gold Coast. Was that just purely a logistical thing that you couldn't...
Not Byron.
Noosa, sorry.
Noosa, yeah. There's some smart manoeuvring there by the Saints.
The surf club up there.
They snuck under the guard a few of the other clubs. I had a few texts come through when they found out that Noosa was up for grabs. But, there's only enough... Yeah, that's right, only enough room. Whether it's accommodation, I think... It's as much about training facilities. There's certainly plenty of accommodation around, but these guys need access to gyms and ovals. And so it's a bit of a combination of all those things.
Is Southport going to be one of the ovals that they use on the Gold Coast? Do you know, Trav?
Yeah, it is one. They have already, I think it might have been Fremantle, was using Southport Sharks oval and facilities, including their gymnasium, there for a couple of weeks. And that will continue on. And with the Sharks and the Neefle not continuing this year, that gives them access to that facility. They've also got a good hotel there. So we've been very lucky that we've got some good facilities, particularly on the Gold Coast.
Not the Versace Hotel, is it?
No, it wasn't one on the list.
That's where Duck stays.
It is funny how you mentioned that one, though. I like to go straight to that.
Well, that's where Duck stays. We don't stay there.
You must be delighted with the fixturing, the way that you're doing it at the moment. Sorry, go on, Bill.
No, no, no. You go, bully.
Well, go on. You go with what you've got.
Trav, 700 players and staff relocated. That is huge. The AFL picks up the bill for the whole lot?
No, Bill.
We do, unfortunately. We've got to pay their flights and accommodation, and we said we'd manage that. Effectively, whether we pick it up or clubs, the way we've had to manage our way through this is just one big pool of money between us and the clubs. And you know, you'll see over the next few weeks, we've got home games where, Geelong will play the home game at the SCG. So it's nothing normal about this, and so we'll have to work through how that all plays out financially. But at the moment, it's just about getting the season underway and continuing on.
And rounds 8, 9 and 10, Trav, do you have an idea as to when you will announce that?
Just take a couple of days off first. Maybe, whether we do one or two or three rounds, I'm not sure yet. But certainly sort of later next week, maybe the week after, we might go again with at least one more round. Simply because to do the round 6 and 7, you've got to have a sense of 8, 9 and 10 anyway. Yeah. Make sure that it flows out. And so it's there in principle. We haven't sort of worked out maybe all the venues and the slots. So it's not a mile away, but probably later next week, hopefully.
All right, Travis, we let you go. Last time we had you on, I gave the WA and South Australian Premiers a necessary clip.
Yep.
The bloke here hasn't done you any favours.
I think last time I let it go through the keeper as well, didn't I?
Yeah. We appreciate you coming on and explaining what's a very difficult job. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Travis Old does a very nice job, as we've often discussed, in a very, very turbulent time for anyone trying to put a fixture together. All right, we're going to get to a break. Next, Jordan Ngoe kicks the ball. It hits the ump. He says it was a goal. The hub says, or whatever the bloody thing's called, says it's not a goal. I'm going to ask this fine cluster of gentlemen whether it was a goal or not. We're going to get some news out of Damo. We've got the quiz still to come. Big Dean Cox is also going to join us, of course, part of the coaching structure at Sydney. Big, big Saturday rub before we get into West Coast and the Swans. For McDonald's and Hard Yakka, Triple M Rocks Footy.
The Triple M Footy Saturday rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
West Coast Sydney today at Metricon Stadium. BT's here, as is Willis,
yep.
Duck and Damo. We've got a gentleman on the line now who, pound for pound, is as good a footballer as we've seen play the game the last 20 years.
That's a lot of pounds.
Well, that now. But in his playing day, of course, stripped down magnificently. A rookie who became a premiership superstar, multiple Australian, and one of our favourites, of course, Big Dino Cox. Coxie, welcome.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for the kind words, Bill.
Can you believe, of all the people that are having a go at your physique, Fat jumped in first?
Oh, no, it's unbelievable as well. I heard something that we are playing at Metricon, and Bill, apparently you're walking in here one day and someone asked you for a record and you said you've already got one of those here. So, any truth to that rumour?
Well, there, because I do hold the record there for 11 goals, Coxie, which you would be familiar with, of course, and it's still a record. I can't believe it. Well done, Dean, Michael.
I brought up your text you sent me, so you can thank me later.
Now, how are we looking up there? Tell us, give us a rundown, and you've got some changes there in the Sydney side, we see.
Yeah, I suppose we had to be forced with a couple of injuries, but the performance that we had on the weekend against the Bulldogs wasn't to the level or acceptable. So some changes had to be made, and yeah, the weather's fine, track good, so up for a big encounter.
We haven't spoken to you since your official induction into the Hall of Fame, Dean.
Yes.
How was that for you, given it was very different this year without the public function attached to it?
Yeah, it was just obviously a great call to get from Richard. I got it probably in March. And, first of all, honoured to be a part of the group. And I suppose I always idolised a lot of the West Coast Elwood players, and they got inducted, so to be able to join them was really good. And, unfortunately, the night didn't go ahead with the circumstances, which a few of us might have saved the AFL a little bit of money with some beers we might have drank.
Yeah. And one of those guys you would have had a drink with is Chris Judd, who still to this day is taking credit for helping you get to such status.
Yeah, exactly right. He obviously made a lot of my work look really good. So, he can embellish your story as well as anyone. So, it's just exciting to be able to play with him, and hopefully next year when he's available, he'll be inducted also.
So, Coxie, is there something planned when you can get together, that either that group or something bigger at the end of the year?
Yeah, the AFL said that they'll try and get something done as soon as they possibly can. So, with the circumstances that lie at the minute, it might be a little bit tough this year, but, they said they will get us to Melbourne and honour us in some way, shape or form.
Now, how's my little nephew going up there?
What are you calling?
James Rowbottom.
Paddlebum.
Yep. How's he flying? Is he going to make it, do you think? Is he going to be a 200-game player or not?
I think from what I've seen, he will be. He's really dedicated, spends a lot of time on his game. And I suppose the thing you want from young players is as soon as they get to a footy club is they try and pick the brains of the senior players. And he's spending a hell of a lot of time with Floyd Park and Josh Kennedy and always challenging him at training and, he's tough at the footy and has a little bit of speed as well, which is exciting.
Speaking of 200-game players, Luke Parker today. Geez, see him close, Coxie. You just admire him?
Yeah, I think, he's certainly epitomises everything the Bloods stand for when he's, he puts his body on the line at all times and sets the standard in numerous areas at the footy club. So, yeah, he's burst onto the scene. He's played 20, he's still only 27 as well. So there's plenty of footy left in the body. And, hopefully we can get up for him today.
What do you make of West Coast and where they're at the moment, Dean? How are you viewing them?
They've probably been a little bit indifferent, similar to us. And I think one thing they've done is they've played a lot of night games and some wet footy. So one thing they probably like to do is to control the footy in the back half and try and get some overlap run from there. So nice day today, they might try and do that. And, they've got some really good, obviously, experience and some talent all over the ground that we've got to be aware of.
Dean, what do you tell Hayden McLean today going into game number 7 against Nick Natanui? Obviously, the injuries to Naismith and Sinclair. How are you nurturing that man through this period?
Tell us, Coxie.
I think one thing he's got to realise as well is that he's not going to win the majority of the hit-out. So to try and influence for our footy team is to try and take his space and time away and not let him jump and control a whole circle, especially at the centre bounce. So if he's reaching for the ball at any stage, it becomes a little bit more predictable for our midfielders, which we need to get. And, we just have a strong contest and he will get beaten at times and he's just got to bounce back and try and learn from it on the spot as quickly as he can, but he'll have a go at him.
Away from the track a little bit, Coxie, how annoying has Stevie J been with you? He sort of tags around and he must be a very annoying sort of operator.
The worst I've seen. So he's the worst I've seen. You talk about putting on some weight. At least I can say I finished 6 years ago. He's sort of just out of the game and looks like he's been retired for 20 years. But he doesn't mind having a say and putting his opinion forward, which at times gets shut down, but enjoyable.
How is Big Horse? Going all right? Because you both very aware of Horse and you listen to him and you try and sneak out for a drink here and there.
But and
you
sit on the front row last week with him and got a earful, Coxie.
Oh, Coxie, you did too.
Yeah, I know. He's going well, I think. And that's one thing you want to try and do in the box. We're in a stage where things weren't working, we had to try something different. So he's always been of the opinion, try up whatever you want, and he'll squash it down if he has to. And
he won't listen.
Last week at times it might have happened.
Hey, Coxie, we're interested in how lockdown sort of works with people. Some people get a bit heavier, some people get a bit lighter. Your great mate, Andrew Embley, we caught up with him finals time last year and he had faded away to a complete block of flats. How's he going to have gone in the last 3 months?
He still doesn't have a chin, so it'll be good to... Well, I think it's pretty obvious that his new partner that he's got's got one of the best places down in Eagle Bay, so he keeps sending photos of his feet in the bed or drinking red wine and enjoying life down there, so half his luck.
Oh, I love it, mate. Good luck today. We're going to be doing the game. Can't wait for it. Both teams have an enormous amount to play for. Good luck with it.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
On your Coxie. Well, now, guess where he's from. Here's a little quiz for you before the quiz.
Northern Western Australia. Like,
yeah,
far north, isn't it? Like Dampier or something.
Dampier,
like
well done. And guess what was made in Dampier? Not bread.
Iron ore?
No, not iron ore. Fred. Red Dog.
Oh, the movie.
The Red Dog, the movie, was made in Dampier, where Dean Cox is from. And I went there one day for a little, just a function.
What'd you go there for, Bill?
With Mouse and Dougie Hawkins.
You didn't drive to Dampier with Mouse.
Red Dog. Yeah, Red Dog's there. Yeah. Anyway, and Red Dog, I know why he wanted to escape the bloody joint. No, it's the worst joint in the world.
He's a dump.
Oh, Dampier. There's nothing there.
How long did you sit in the car with Mouse to get to Dampier?
Oh, just a couple of days. It was nice. Dropped into a couple of nice little spots on the way and skimpies.
Did he get close to the steering wheel at any stage?
He does.
Yeah.
Sits on five cushions.
I was going to say.
There's plenty of leg room behind his seat.
He's got one of those bar stools.
And with Doug Hawkins. Oh,
Bill, there's not enough money printed to do that.
Exactly. You know, we got stopped one. No.
No, there isn't.
Oh, no, there is. No. We got stopped by a road train one day. I reckon we were there for 45 minutes. They got the longest road trains you've ever seen. You wouldn't know, Duck. You don't get out to the folk out there.
You were very rude to Mouse one day, Jim, when I saw
him. Oh, very rude.
No.
I think it was in Adelaide.
Yes.
No, he would have deserved it.
You were very rude.
He's the thickest skin of any human being I've ever met, Mouse.
You said to him, don't ever speak to me again.
You can say whatever you like to him and he'll just completely ignore it and do whatever he wants.
When the footy show was in its embryonic stages.
Early.
And Harvey Silver was the... producer,
EP.
And he did a great job early. I remember watching the rodent Mouse, who was over on a bit of a journey over here for a weekend. He walked into Harvey's office, and on the back of his big high chair, because he was the boss, he had a beautiful big footy show jacket. You know, it was one of those $500 jackets. Mouse just took it and walked out.
Helped himself.
Just helped himself walk.
He can do that, no doubt about it. Bill's mate.
Yeah.
Now, before we get to 133353 quiz coming up next.
Not quiz time.
If the ball hits the umpire,
yes,
as it did last night with Jordan Dugowie, I have a view that should automatically be a goal.
So
take all the confusion out of it. If the ball hits the umpire, a goal umpire, it's a goal.
Well, the umpire called it a goal, JB, and it's got to be conclusive for
it wasn't a goal.
And it wasn't conclusive.
No, so here's the thing.
I agree.
I'm with Duck. It wasn't conclusive. Yep. Should have gone back to what the umpire said. However, we are told that as a result of a similar thing happening in Adelaide a few years ago, they have written another rule, perhaps Tunnets can look it up, in the book that it says, if it hits the goal umpire and it could have easily been adjudicated that it was going to be a goal, then that's what it should stand. It was written for that very specific thing.
My thing is, the goal umpire always stands in the goal face.
Yep.
So if the ball hits him, it should just be a goal.
Yeah.
And it's bad luck if it was perhaps going to go and hit the post. Doesn't matter.
The directory of the footy was going through when it hit him in the stomach.
I agree,
hit him on the point. There's no way that was going to do it a dog leg and go into the post.
And it's
that
only
was,
got, it's
that
only
was
got,
going through for me.
It's only got a miss by a mil. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was a point, in all honesty.
But take all the confusion out of it.
How many pots were you in then, Bill?
Yeah, how was the bot looking at that point?
I was at the creamy last night. But I still thought it was a point.
What's it saying there, Brian?
Yeah, that rule was brought in a couple of years ago, and we did get confirmation of that last night, that if it does hit the goal umpire and it can be adjudicated that it was going, or would have been otherwise a goal, then it will be signalled.
Passionate plea.
Mistake for me.
All right, I agree with you, Duck. I'm having 15 minutes off.
Quiz!
I can't be a part of this.
I don't want
but to you might need to throw to the
quiz.
Next ad break before the quiz finishes.
133353, get on the line now, the people's quiz.
All right. Leroy's down there. Sadly, he's got to be in control of this thing. He's actually got to sharpen up too, Leroy. 133353 is the number.
In the sporting world, there have been some incredible comebacks. Jordan.
Chicago Bulls have won their second three-peat.
Woods puts it in.
It is. Hager is back.
Foreman.
Down goes Moore on a right hand.
And once again, heavyweight. Champion of the world.
But nothing compares to this.
The punters love it, Chip.
The comeback of all comebacks.
I want the quiz, mate. We want the quiz back.
Billy, we love your quiz.
I want the quiz back.
The return.
Bring back the quiz.
Of the Saturday Rub Quiz.
What do they want, Bill?
What
want?
Do we want?
The quiz.
What do we want?
Now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Triple M's magnificent segment, the Saturday Rub Quiz. Here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Now, Fat.
Yes.
Get it right.
Yes.
Get it. Keep the pace up. Don't start asking ridiculous questions of people that we don't care about the answers to.
Right.
And when they ring, you'll go, g'day, it's Jim on the line from Sandringham.
Yeah.
G'day, Jim. What has Jim got to do?
Well, I was going to change that. Because
just been walking the dog.
That's been Triple M quiz folklore for years.
That's the people's quiz. They've asked for
it. So what are you
it.
Changing it to?
They can say, I'm no. okay. Yes.
No, they don't, Bill, because then they're wasting our time. We haven't got any time to waste.
That's the people's quiz. They've asked for it. They got it. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours.
No,
and it's not yours, Fourys, either.
No, but like, I've been supportive of it, Bill.
It's
unlike
like you,
the other three.
It's like Roosie when he came on board for a year
yeah.
and got rid of the bad votes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's something we're famous for.
Yeah. All right.
So, Fat, that's how you run this quiz.
Okay, welcome to the People's Quiz, Ben. How are you? No. Hey.
Oh, no. What sort of a start are we making?
Great to have the quiz back, Benny.
Just at the ATM.
That's it.
Ah, right.
How much are we withdrawing?
50s or 20s?
$40.
$30.
$30.
What are you going to do with $30,
Bill?
Come on.
I said $40.
$40.
All right.
That's bigger.
Pace.
There are two teams currently winless. Name them.
West Coast.
No.
Adelaide.
Come on, Ben. You got to know that. Michael. Michael's in the basin now. Hello, Michael.
Hey, boys. Just run around.
See, Bill. You got to have better control.
Mark in Rosanna. Okay, Marco.
On my way to buy a fireplace, boys.
A fireplace?
Nice.
What, yeah. down at Wignall's or where?
Wignall's.
Nah, in Ultimate Fires in Epping.
Oh, Epping. Oh, righto.
Three from three. Yeah.
Two teams currently winless. Who are they there, Benny boy?
It's Mark, and it's three on the Dockers.
Oh, Mark.
Three on
his name's
Dockers.
Mark, Bill.
What do you call him, Ben?
Oh, what's written? How?
You
how has this happened?
Oh, mate, they play together. They play each other tomorrow.
Yes.
Someone's got to win.
Mark, Bill.
Mark's here in Rosanna. Yeah,
that's it.
Can you name this week's NAB rising AFL star?
Oh.
Geez, you cheat. Not you, Mark.
Oh, Bill.
This week's NAB rising star, tick, 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 tock.
No.
Bad luck, you're out. Oh, let's go to Ben in South Yarra now. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the quiz, the people's quiz, your quiz.
Just cleaning the car out.
What's in there?
What did you find?
What sort of car?
Just cleaning the car.
Anything used?
Oh, come on.
NAB rising star this week, Benjamin.
It's not Matty Rowell.
No, you're right. That was last week.
Gee, yeah, just trying to.
He's just stubborn here.
Leroy.
Leroy.
We're two questions in.
No, we're not. We're at one. Josh in Maribyrnong.
Yeah, just helping the missus rearrange the cutlery drawer, Bill.
Oh, good work.
Oh, yeah, good job.
Which way do you go?
From left to right, we'll go spoons, knives, forks.
What's next? Oh, the sock drawer?
Sock drawer, the undie drawer. Righto, Joshy. Name this week's NAB AFL rising star.
Yeah, come on.
That'll be Tommy Green.
Tommy Green. They were both good last week, weren't they, the Green boys?
Yeah.
Number three is a lifeline.
Get around him!
You got Passionate Plea, Brian there. You got Dorky, Damo, and you got Duck. Hang on, you need the question, yeah. Which...
Oh, this is a train wreck.
West Coast have had four All-Australians in 2019. Name three of the four. Josh, you can have...
We'll go. I reckon I can probably get it myself, but we'll go Duck.
Oh, Ducky boy.
Duck.
Yep.
All right, well, I'll give you a couple at least.
Oh, yeah.
I think McGovern's definitely one. I think Darling got his first nomination for that, his first All-Australian.
Yeah.
Gaff was solid again, but there's two. Or so you've got to, if you reckon you know, you come up with the other one.
Righto, Josh.
Was Elliot Yeo as well?
So what are your three?
I will go Darling, McGovern, Yo.
Oh, well done.
Oh, nice. Who was the other one, Fat?
Shannon Hearn.
Oh, very good.
Well done, Duck.
I tell you what, Yo and Darling have got to step it up today.
Oh, I would have thought, yes.
They've been poor. Yo. Which Sydney player plays his 200th game today?
Oh, please.
Josh, we just spoke to about it before on Triple M. Joshy boy.
Okay. I was listening to the races, Bill.
See the race three number
have
one.
A step. Melt him.
Lucky we got plenty of people on the quiz. Oh. They love it. Look at them. They come to Papa. Andrew Sunshine in the car, I reckon.
Driving to Armidale.
Oh, what are we shopping for today?
Not much, Phil. Just following someone.
I just followed.
Just following someone, just Bill. Question, Bill. Yeah.
That could be concerning. Which Sydney player plays his 200th game today, follower?
Lukey Parker.
He does indeed. Number five is a lifeline.
Get around him!
Outs, boys. How came? Duck's done. He's done well. Outside of caretaker coaches, Sydney had four coaches during the 90s. Sydney had four coaches during the 90s. Name them. Drew, you can go with Dorky Damo or Passionate Plea Brian.
I'll go with Damo.
Okay.
You got to say Dorky Damo. So now you can go with Damo or Passionate Plea. Who do you want to go with?
Dorky Damo.
Well, in that case, I'm glad I can only get three for you. Barassi, Kinnear and Eid.
Barassi.
Just trying to think who Trump. Was...
What about...
Andrew's there in sunshine.
Bucking Wait. Bronco.
Oh, have a good weekend. Righto. So, Damo, how many you got there? Three.
Yes.
Righto. What do you think, Andrew? You got to name the four coaches during the 90s at Sydney.
Was John Blake in there somewhere?
No, he wasn't. Bad luck, mate. Luke's there in Geelong. Sun's out, 27 down there at G-Town. What a day in Geelong today, Luke.
Yeah, just on my way to the pub, boys.
Just avoid the Cremorne if you can, Luke.
Which pub you going to do, Luke?
Yeah, the Cremorne.
All roads lead there. Yeah,
Bill's going to be running a quiz there later.
Yeah. I am, the same quiz.
What question number is this, Bill?
This is five.
Oh, no.
Four coaches during the 90s at Sydney. They you got... Dorky or you got Passionate?
I've given three.
He has, Damo.
And I think I've worked out the last one.
Is the last one Buccaneers?
Who?
Gary Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
Yeah,
good enough.
So it's Colkinier, as you said, Gary Buccaneers now, Ron Brassey and Rodney Eade. Well done, Rodney Eade. And number six, who was the...
Will.
What was the combined winning margin in both the 2005 and 2006 grand finals between Sydney and West Coast? The combined winning margin there, Lukey?
5 points.
Hey. Look at Luke go.
4 points and 1 point, which is?
That's it, Bill.
So
keep the pace going.
Our boundary rider for today's game is Theo Dorolopoulos. What sport did Theo play there, Luke?
Extraordinarily hard sport to play, Luke.
What did you say, Luke? What did he say?
I don't think you want to ask.
Soccer.
No.
Bad luck. Brett's there in St. Albans.
Snorbs.
Is that one of the lockdown suburbs?
Probably.
Dodgy. Brett, don't say
yes,
probably.
It is, Bill.
Brett.
And we're reading the form guide, boys.
Yes.
In the form
Bill,
guide.
We thank all of those people for locking themselves down, and we appreciate the efforts they're going.
Are you doing that, Brett? You've been very good. Locked yourself in.
Absolutely. And hurry good up, Chua. Bring Jimmy's food, for Christ's sake.
That's it. Exactly right.
I'm Chua.
No doubt about it. He gets a clip.
Righto, Brettie. Theo played what sport?
Who?
Theo Dorolopoulos. Yes, well done.
Well done.
Number eight is a lifeline.
Get around him!
Righto, Brady.
Pace.
Who led Sydney's goal kicking in 1991 with 52 goals? Was it A, Jason Love, B, Warwick Kiappa, C, Simon Minton Connell, or D, Dale Lewis? 52 goals in 1991.
I'll go Jason Love.
It's a lot.
Oh, no.
He doesn't need it.
Lovey. Good. Lovey. Well done, Brett.
Duck, mate.
Why is BT always last to be picked in the quiz?
Because they've worked him out, Duck.
He's like the little kid at school.
And they don't even get his answer now. They just go it alone.
It's a little chubby kid at school where he didn't get picked.
I was good at geography.
You are not good at
geography.
I was good at geography.
You're good at contra. Now, Luke, Brett.
A little chubby kid at school.
He was, Brian. And he'd be waiting there and his best mate would get picked. And then
Bill, I won the 100, 200, 400 shot put.
Brian would be going, yeah, me.
And then he'd belt the bloke and he'd pick him.
I'll tell you what, had a few fights down the bottom oval.
Right. Joel Selwood plays his 300th game today. Can you name the other three Selwood brothers to have played AFL footy? Brett. So there's Joel. Troy.
Adam and Scott.
Oh,
bang.
Who do you back for, Brett?
Kangas.
Yeah, of course he does. So make sure he gets every prize.
Cunnington playing today?
I'm not sure.
Zeeble?
No.
Bob Skilton, this is it for the prizes. The CD, the scarf, the beanie.
What is the prize?
A trust putter.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So, tailor-made. Well done.
Tailor-made. Bob Skilton holds a record for the equal most number of best and fairest at a club. How many?
Four. Eight.
No.
Oh, that's not
Don't
bad.
Tell yeah. me who's coming into it. Oh, no. Matthew. Matthew's just going to walk in and go bang and get all the prizes. Matty?
Just in lockdown at the moment. Airport West.
Airport West. Not allowed out of the house, are you?
Nah, correct.
Oh, that's no good. There he is on telly. I'm just watching myself, Matty.
Yeah, look at your eyes, Fat. You've got no sort of game.
Yes,
at
I
all.
Have.
Look at the hands.
Hands. Hang on, mate. Just give us, we're nearly finished.
Hands around us.
Look at it himself.
What about the coloured coat?
Nice red jacket I got on, Matty. You love this.
Small head. Look at your eyes. They're like
just
dull.
Proportionately small head.
Nothing behind them.
Small little hands.
Bob Skilton holds the record for the equal most number of best and fairest with how many there? Knackers?
Knackers.
Matty?
Nine.
Yeah. There we go, Jimmy! He's won the TaylorMade Tour Response Golf Balls, a trust putter. Thanks to our good friends at TaylorMade. And brilliant. Thank you to the people out there who made this possible today.
We appreciate Aaron and great people at TaylorMade to help us out with the quiz. Is it coming back or is that it?
Yeah, no.
Is that its death knell?
Luke?
Surely that was it.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, he's not convinced now, man. Oh, even Leroy's giving it a
Leroy, number. You need this quiz. Yeah. Keeps you going, Leroy, so I'd be find a little dinger.
Everything's going automated down there, Leroy.
Whoa.
There's the dinger.
There's the dinger.
Automated.
Bit of news next with you, Purple. Looking forward to that for Hard Yakka. By the way, Hard Yakka believes in the Australian legend. Toughness is in their DNA. No shortcuts. They make it tough. They make it right. Workwear without compromise. They're Australian for workwear. Work hard, play hard, laugh hard. Hard Yakka, a history of hard. And McDonald's Triple M rocks Saturday afternoon football.
The Triple M footy Saturday rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Now, Purple, news. I know we've got about 4.5 minutes here. We can cover some on the other side of the break, but tell us what we need to know.
I'll just back over what Travis Auld said to us before about this current fixturing will be considered to be a 5-week fixturing, 32 days within that period. So we know what rounds 6 and 7 look like. We will soon know what rounds 8, 9 and 10 look like. He did admit, Jim, that there could be a reset, or there will be a reset of the competition after round 10. A reset could mean a bye if the numbers of infection in Victoria have not improved. I think that will be the case, but they're obviously hoping that the reset just means the Melbourne teams come back to Melbourne and then stay in Melbourne. But so you follow the CEOs very closely, and as of next week for round 6, there's going to be 12 teams based in the southeast Queensland part of the country, Brisbane and Gold Coast. The chief executive officer of the Brisbane Lions, Greg Swan, has attracted the attention of the cross-town, cross-code rival Brisbane Broncos, who are very keen on his skill set.
Hello.
That's a football club, the Brisbane Broncos, which has lost its way a little bit on and off field, and they've seen Greg Swan. Now, spoken to Swanee today, he claims that he knows about this, but it is being reported now, Jim, that there is some significant interest in that man.
I'll tell you what Swanee can have done. He can have seen a naked man on fire at a set of traffic lights. You can ask him about it a second later. He'll go, I didn't see a thing. He's the best ever, Swanning.
He's saying he's a lying
dude. No. He just will claim that nothing happened. There's nothing to see here.
Well, that's what he said.
He's one
this
of
morning.
My all-time favourites.
Yeah, I love
him. Well, we know he's highly in demand, but he's a football man, isn't he?
I would have thought so.
He's not going to rugby league. Yeah. Swanning, come on.
Famous story when Richard Pratt got him out of Carlton, yes. Having been at Collingwood at the time, and he got him into his office, and he basically said, I can't leave Collingwood. And then he said, maybe have a look at that. Threw a little check to him with an open amount on, put your number in there.
Cool. And he happened to leave Collingwood.
And left.
He is as good a bloke. If you can ever get a bar and a quiet beer and sit with Swanee for half an hour, some of the stories that come out of that bloke.
And you're right, he's tight and he's staunch when it comes to what he needs to protect.
Magnificent.
Yeah. Similar thing happened to me, but I can't tell you about it.
Oh.
It happened to Malcolm Blight, didn't it? He had an open check, didn't he?
That's St Kilda.
The Chinese, when he went up the Gold Coast, and they were having Chinese.
It was $1 million. It ended up becoming, but yeah, it might have been. He got $1 million back in 2000.
It's a nice
2000.
Like didn't they say, write your own figure up?
I think Rod Butters did say that, didn't he, after the event? Yes,
nice.
He did. We just touched on the hubs before. Bashir Hooley's partner has given birth in the past 24 hours. The decision is yet to be made one way or another whether he goes. But if he doesn't go on Monday, it will cause a slight problem with the quarantine requirements in New South Wales and Queensland. So what will need to be done if he is to not go on Monday, Jim? He will need to work out when he does want to go. But if he does then go, he will need to quarantine by himself away from teammates and away from all the other AFL people on the Gold Coast when he does get there, if indeed he does leave late. So a bit of a complication there. Tigers, BT, Duck, what are you both witnessing there when it comes to what they're dishing up each week and the way they're now selecting their teams? They're not afraid to drop premiership players. Stack's the latest one. Shai Bolton came out again last night. Marlon Pickett is not back in. Rioli is, but not afraid to make some tough
good players out of form, and it's filtered.
Are they playing with the edge they normally have?
No, they're not. That manic pressure is just not at the high level that it has been the last few years.
And they need a crowd. And I know that sounds silly, but I reckon they need
Rewalt,
a crowd.
Martin, Cochin, all of the above, not in great form. That filters through.
Have you finished yet, Damien?
No, there's more news.
Music is for an ad break.
Yeah, ad break. So we got a timeout, Fat. But when
longer
we come
than
back,
the bloody quiz, this.
That went for four and a half minutes.
You were doing your form.
Just reading online, there are a number of players that are taking their families away. And
good on them.
Yes.
Yeah, great news. Yeah,
well, you're not happy with that, though.
No, I'm saying there are a number of people doing it.
It's just a dangerous tackle situation from last night. Will Snelling on Callum Brown. I think most people,
wasn't
Duck, mean. Yourself included, thought it was a pretty good tackle. Yeah, the Will Snelling tackle.
Don't tell me.
To its credit, the AFL has this morning confirmed that the dangerous tackle free kick was unwarranted. In the umpire's view, he thought one arm was pinned and the tackle was excessive, which left the head in a vulnerable position. But it was, according to the AFL, an incorrect decision. And I like what they're doing this year. They're wrapping up and mopping up these issues on the run and allowing us all to address it, discuss it, but also realise that mistakes
are being
made. Is
that Steve Hocking doing that?
It's under his watch.
Because I remember when he was at Geelong, he used to hate waiting around to see how long players got. He couldn't believe that. He was critical of the AFL.
Yeah. Tell you what, and next week I'm going to address the state of the game.
Are you?
I'm sick of it.
Why?
The state of the game or the discussion around it?
The discussion around it is heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I agree with that part of
it. For 20 years, I have trusted people with our game in their hands. And for 20 years, they've delivered rule change after rule change after rule change that have not worked. They've had great meaning behind it. They've had great delivery, great research, but it hasn't worked.
Do we not have more things to be concerned with right now, though, BT, than
it's
the state of the game?
It's time to listen. That's why I said I'll do it next week, Damo.
Next week.
But I know where you're going, Damo, and I am a massive Al Clarkson fan, as you know, but I'm not sure right now, with the crisis the game's facing, is the right time to be talking the brand down.
I agree.
I think even if there are concerns, park them and let's just get through.
Yeah.
You know, constantly reminding people of what they're watching isn't great. Copy is not necessarily right now what we need.
No.
Anyway,
Damo, you're across everything. We spoke to Travis Orr before. Now, the little birdie tells me there's some pretty big numbers at some clubs.
Numbers of what?
Numbers of who they want to go and put into these hubs.
Oh, you mean how many each club can take?
I'm hearing some really big numbers.
So there's 46 on a list. So say, what are you hearing, 46, I'm 50?
No, but hang on. There's 46
staff?
Plus official.
I'm 27 so staff can go.
I'm hearing there are clubs.
70, say 70.
There are clubs that are requesting 90 plus.
What?
90?
90 plus.
How would that work?
Well, I guess if there's a big number of people taking their families, then that can that can blow out.
Must be taking the Little League or something.
What club?
90 plus.
There's no official number that, as far as I know, as to what is allowed and what isn't allowed. Club, it will be left up to
how much is this going to cost the AFL?
It's going to cost BT 23, 24, 25 million plus.
Wow.
Plus.
So how much do they get for the broadcast rights for the year?
Bill, I'd need to revisit. No, it's changed.
I don't know.
Well, why would I make it up?
Well, Brian,
how much?
In normal circumstances, Bill, not in COVID times, but roughly $400 million a year.
So we'll take off $100 million for this year because of the circumstances?
Probably, not quite. But,
well, $350 million broadcast rights versus how much do you reckon for the Cubs?
Just for the hubs, yeah. It'd be at least 25 mil.
Oh, well, that's why they're doing
the hub. Bill, there's a lot of other departments that have a grab for that money as well, not just, a little bit of money going to accommodation for some hubs.
It's 25
mil. It'd be a lot of money.
You've got to think of all the little things, the little nook and crannies, the dietary requirements of certain individuals that need this and need that. And
what about ratings?
It's going to be tricky.
Damo, I heard that the AFL are very
formula. Bill. Yeah.
Very happy with with the way the game is rating, given the given the movable fixture.
Yeah, it is rating well, isn't it?
Yep.
It's been year on year. It's been
11% plus up, yep. up year on year. Yep. Enormous ratings.
To give the broadcasters their due, the way they've managed to broadcast it in a way that allows the viewer at home to realise there's no one there, but to have the experience without it actually conflicting the thoughts around it, I think it's really
the crowd noise is good
and without turning it into a fun park.
Yep.
No. They've done well.
Yep.
Well,
certainly Saturday nights are beautifully called evening. And Domo,
she's a flog.
Very nice.
Absolute flog.
Well, go and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Jim.
We look forward to that.
Very good day. Hey, that club that's over 90, Duck, who is it?
Well, I'm happy to say my old club, heard, are in the 90s.
Will not be.
90s.
That's what I've heard.
Mate, the leanest run club nearly in the comp. They're not going to be putting that
surely
number up.
Not.
Probably,
surely.
Probably, given the fact that half of them had to get out of their homes here, they figure they're better off going up to the
They've already
exactly right.
All right.